out, but don't get cocky. Pretending to be a criminal for that long leaves a mark. It can alter you in ways you don't realize until you're knee-deep in shit. Believe me, I've been there. So if you're home, spend some time with your family, your friends, people who know you, and can remind you of who you really are. Right. I'm serious, Dorsey. You're one of my best agents, and I know these missions are personal for you, but I can see that this last one took a toll on you. I don't need you pulling some hermit bullshit and getting unhinged when all the crap you've seen and done in the last few years starts sinking in. I've lost agents who've taken the after effects too lightly. Don't be one. I understand, sir.
Billings let out an annoyed sigh.
Sure you do. I'll be checking in with you in the dock, and I want proof.
Proof?
If you want back on the job, you need to send me a weekly update. Pretend I'm your great aunt Mildred who's just dying to see what you're up to. I want notes and pictures of you doing the things you say you're doing.
Finn tapped the back of his head against the headboard.
You've got to be kidding. I don't kid, son. If I think you're not taking care of yourself, I'll send someone down there to get you. Or worse, I'll send Murray down there to babysit you.
Oh, hell no. Jason Murray had been in training with him, and he was the chattiest son of a bitch Finn had ever met. Good guy, but Finn might flee the country if he had to share his vacation with the dude.
Got it, pictures, active, social Finn. You better convince me, Dorsey.
Finn rubbed his brow where a headache was brewing.
Yes, sir. And keep me up to date on the case. I'm on leave, but I need to see this thing through. Of course, I'll keep you in the loop.
Finn ended the call with his boss and scrubbed a hand over his face. Part of him wished he was back in Virginia, working, going through the mountain of evidence he'd collected with the team. The operation had been his baby. He wanted to see those bastards who ran Dragonfly rot in jail. He wanted to look them in the face, knowing all the horrific crimes they'd committed, and tell them,
"Gotcha, assholes!"
But he'd known what would be awaiting him back there. He'd already gone through all the therapy and shit after high school. He couldn't face another round. He could bury the ghost of Axel here, be Finn again, even though that persona felt like a ghost these days as well. Only when he'd kissed Liv had he felt a thread of that guy he used to be.
Liv.
His fingers flexed as his thoughts shifted from work back to what happened on the deck. The way Liv had melted into him. The sounds she'd made. Had they not been interrupted, he could have her here in his room right now, drawing those needy noises out of her. Tasting her skin. No. He needed to stop thinking about the woman. His mind and his quickly stiffening dick couldn't take it. He and Liv had made the right decision. The smart one. With a grunt, he pushed himself off the bed, tossed his phone onto the nightstand, and stripped down to his boxers, ignoring the half-hard state of his cock. He'd become a pro at taking care of things on his own, but he knew his hand wouldn't satisfy him tonight. It would just torture him more, remind him of what he didn't have. So instead, he focused on doing his nightly routine, one he couldn't seem to shake, even on break. He tucked his gun into his boot next to the bed, with an easy reach, and then he double-checked the locks on the doors and windows, making note of all the escape routes. Once that was all done, he finally let himself settle into bed, Liv still on his mind. In the morning, he'd leave a note under her door with his number in case she ever needed anything. Then he'd head to the lake house, before anyone else got up. Billings wanted him to socialize and reacclimate, but he'd just have to figure out a way to send the right pictures to get by. Because what was the point? In a few months, he'd be back on assignment. A ghost again. He didn't know how to be anything else anymore. Chapter 5.
Thump!
Liv rolled over in bed and blinked in the darkness, the unfamiliar room jarring her for a moment. She rubbed her eyes, trying to clear the cotton from her head.
Thump, thump, thump!
The soft knocking that had disturbed her sleep came again. What the hell? She sat up and flicked on the lamp, squinting in the sudden light, The knock sounded again but became more insistent.
Liv?
The voice was muffled. One of her friends? Hard to tell, but the knocking didn't stop. Okay, okay, hold on. She climbed out of bed and made her way across the room, her feet moving as though she were walking through marshland, each step slow and cumbersome. She peeked through the peephole, but didn't see who she'd expected. She frowned and opened the door. Finn? He stood in the hallway, looking just how she'd left him on the porch. Black t-shirt, worn jeans, and thick-soled boots. But his hair was mussed and the look on his face intent.
I couldn't sleep.
Okay, she said carefully.
I couldn't stop thinking about you.
Oh. The words sent a wash of warmth through her. That's interesting. He braced a hand against the door jamb, leaning in, his voice low and dangerous.
I shouldn't be here. You should tell me to go back to my room. Right now. Tell me, Liv.
She wet her lips, her heartbeat picking up speed. You're right. I definitely should. But instead, she stepped back and let the door open wider. His gaze slid down, slowly, slowly, taking in the long-acre Crusader's t-shirt that barely reached her thighs and her bare legs beneath. He stepped inside.
You should put some clothes on, too. Some pants and maybe a parka.
Yes, good thinking. She bumped the door shut behind him and moved closer, putting her hands on his chest. Wouldn't want to give you the wrong idea. He hissed out a breath at the contact and let his hands slide over her waist, making her t-shirt gather up higher, revealing her cotton panties beneath. She got the sense that she should be more worried about that, or question how quickly things were moving, but she couldn't grab on to either feeling, and when he leaned in and kissed her, she didn't want to. She moaned into the kiss, her fingers curling into his shirt, and her body going from simmer to boil. One of his hands slid into her hair, and he gripped her, tilting her head back, and taking the kiss deeper. Breath and lips and tongues mingled, hungry, desperate. He murmured her name in between, and she responded in kind with a panted, "Please." That was all she could manage, but he must have gotten the message. They moved across the room in an awkward tangle of kissing and touching until the backs of her legs hit the edge of the bed. They tumbled onto it, his big body pressing into hers, as he continued to worship her mouth and then moved down to her neck. She tipped her head back and arched against him.
"Liv,"
he said, scraping his teeth along her shoulder.
"Tell me you want this."
It had been so long, not just since she'd been with a guy, but since she'd felt like this, this pulsing, all-encompassing need for a man's touch, for Finn's touch. "I want you." With that, he shifted and tugged his shirt over his head, revealing finely honed muscles and a dark dusting of hair. No sign of the scar she'd expected from the gunshot. She let her fingers trail over the spot. "There's no..."
"Shh!"
He cut her off with a quick kiss. "Now you." He reached for her and pulled off her t-shirt, leaving her in only her panties. He gazed down at her with hungry eyes and brushed the back of his hand over her breast, sending hot shivers along her skin and bringing her nipple to a tight peak.
"You're so goddamn sexy, Livy. I just want to touch and taste you everywhere. Lick every inch."
Her heartbeat pounded, her body aching to grant him that wish. "Yes, that, let's do that." His hand traced down slowly over her ribs, across her belly, marking a trail of intention and driving her out of her mind with anticipation. His fingers played at the edge of her panties, and she fought not to arch into his touch.
"I can see how much you want me," he said against her ear. "We've waited so long." He tugged at the waistband and let his hand slide beneath, touching her where she needed it most. She moaned when his calloused fingers found her slick and wanting, her whole body going aflame. Her eyelids fell shut. Yes. He nipped at the lobe of her ear, his fingers stroking her deep and slow, and whispered, "But we're going to have to be fast, or we'll miss that test in chemistry." Her eyes popped open, her thoughts scrambling. What? But now instead of seeing grown-up Finn, the fresh-faced high school version was looking down at her, all eager and urgent, his skilled, sensual touch from before turned fumbling and less sure. She froze, trying to figure out what was happening. But then the banging on the door started again, this time loud and threatening. Teen Finn yanked his hand back and turned his head. "Dude, what the hell? Give us a second." Liv tried to back away, the panic rising. "No! Libby, it's okay." The scent of pine cleaner burned her nostrils. "No!" The door to the hotel room swung open, and Joseph Miller stepped in with a satisfied smile. 17. Angry-eyed. Deadly. "Well, look what I found. My favorite jock and another desperate girl trying to get his attention. Hope you had fun, because time's up, asshole." Joseph lifted the gun, the barrel looming huge in Liv's vision. A scream ripped through her, trying to warn Finn, trying to do something. But her voice wouldn't come out. Her hands wouldn't move. A click, a smile, an explosion of sound. Then the blood. Finn collapsed on top of her, his entire body going limp, eyes vacant. The scream escaped now, over and over, racking her body with its force. Joseph stalked toward her, finger on the trigger. "Good news is no one will care that you're gone." He put the gun to her head. "Bye now." The shrill scream tore through Finn's sleep and jolted him awake. He sat straight up in bed, heart pounding, and blinked into the darkness, sure that he'd woken from a nightmare. But then the sound came again. First the horrible scream, and then someone banging on a door, calling for help. Shit! Finn's body jumped into action before his brain caught up. He reached into his boot for his gun, hopped out of bed, and ran for the door. His brain kicked into gear when he hit the hallway, all his senses dialing up and calculating things, which direction the sound was coming from, places someone could be hiding, if any civilians were in the immediate area. The hallway was empty, but the screams turned louder, with barely a pause between them. He hurried toward the racket and turned the corner at the end of the hallway, gun poised. Rebecca was two rooms down, frantically pounding on the door. "Olivia, open up, please!" He lowered his gun and ran the short distance down the hall, the screams tearing at him. Someone was hurting Liv. "Out of the way!" Rebecca stepped back, a stricken look on her face. "She won't answer me. I called Kincaid and told her to find a manager with the key. The front desk isn't picking up the phone." The sounds of gut-wrenching terror came again. Liv. Screw waiting for a manager. Finn jerked the door handle, and when it wouldn't give, he rammed his shoulder into the door. The handle was new, but the door had seen better days and protested under the jolt. "Finn, wait. You don't have to..." He gave another hard shove, and the frame splintered. That was all he needed. He gave one more good push, and it released the lock and let him inside. He charged in. Liv's screams were twice as loud in the dark. "Get away from me! No!" He raised his gun. He couldn't see a damn thing, but could hear the mattress squeaking, and Liv continued her desperate pleading. But no one jumped at him or moved in the dark. He reached out blindly and found the light switch. "Police, freeze!" He flicked on the switch, prepared to go to battle. But when light flooded the room, all he saw was Liv bolting upward in the bed. Terror was on her face, her gaze sweeping around the room like a cornered deer. No one else was in sight. "Liv!" But she didn't see him. Her focus zeroed in on his gun, and her eyes went wide. She scrambled backward against the headboard. "Gun!" He immediately lowered the weapon and put a hand out.
Liv, it's me, Finn, it's okay. Is anyone else in the room?
She squeezed her eyes shut.
Shit, okay, hold on.
He did a quick check of the closet and bathroom to make sure nothing was amiss. All the windows were locked. No signs of any struggle. No signs of intrusion. Under the bed was clear. He let out a breath. A nightmare. She'd had a nightmare. He set his gun on the TV stand and moved toward the bed, keeping his hands out in front of him so that if she opened her eyes, she'd see he was unarmed. His gaze swept over her, checking for any obvious injuries. There was nothing he could see, but she was gripping her elbows, soaked with sweat and in a full body tremble. Very much not okay.
Liv, baby, are you all right?
He asked, trying to keep his voice gentle. Talk to me. He reached out to touch her shoulder, and she jerked away from his touch like he'd burned her. It's Finn. You're okay. It's over now.
Finn?
She whispered.
Yes, that's right. Just me.
He eased down onto the bed, being careful not to jostle her. You had a nightmare. Just take a few deep breaths. You're okay now. She opened her eyes, tears spilling over and making damp trails down her cheeks.
It's really you?
Of course. Her gaze jumped to his face first, scanning, wary, and then her attention went to his shoulder. She reached out and touched the puckered scar where the long-acre bullet had exited.
You have a scar.
The words seemed out of context, but they seemed to offer her some relief.
Yes.
She looked down at her sweat-soaked Green Day t-shirt. She gripped the worn fabric like it was a life vest and nodded, whispering,
Okay. Okay.
Yes, you're okay. This time when he reached for her, she came to him, letting him put his arm around her. Her body still trembled, but her breathing had eased down from hyperventilation mode. Rebecca and Kincaid, who'd been standing in the hallway, stepped inside, both looking at Liv with worried eyes. A guy Finn hadn't seen before, presumably the night manager, came in behind them. He had to be all of 18, but had a walk like he was going to go all Wild West Sheriff on them.
What's going on in here? Is everything all right?
I need a minute, Liv whispered, turning her face away from the door.
Please.
Finn turned, blocking the view of Liv.
Everything's fine. False alarm. False alarm? The guy said with a frown. Look at the door. My boss is going to be pissed. And y'all woke up half the building. What the hell happened?
I'll pay for the door, Finn said. I need to make a police report for property damage, and someone yelled the word gun. If there's a...
Rebecca had taken a few steps inside, and she shifted over in front of the table where Finn had placed his weapon.
There's no gun, she said. Our friend just had a nightmare. We'll cover the damage.
Sorry for any trouble, Finn said. Everything's under control.
Doesn't look that way.
The guy tried to peek around Finn and get a look at Olivia.
You sure your friend's not high or something? Because we can't have that kind of thing.
Look.
Finn gritted his teeth, fighting the urge to grab his gun, point it at the guy, and inform him he needed to leave. Now. But that was Axel talking, the guy who ruled by ruthless intimidation. Finn took a breath, pushing that dark impulse down.
Look, it's just been a rough day for us all. She had a nightmare, a bad one.
And we'd appreciate a little privacy, Rebecca said, taking a no-bullshit tone. This hotel assured us we'd get it.
The guy's attention moved to each of them like he was connecting some dot-to-dot puzzle. Awareness dawned on his face.
Oh, you're the ones here for the anniversary. So she had a nightmare about, you know.
Kincaid had been standing off to the side, watching Liv like a worried mother. But she turned at that. She pulled the pink robe she was wearing more tightly around herself and offered the manager a tight smile. "Sweetheart, I appreciate you rushing up here with me to intervene. That was real helpful and brave of you. But now that we know everything's all right, we'd all just like to get back to bed. No one wants to be seen by God and all the world in their nightclothes." Kincaid's sweet as pie approach seemed to soften him. He nodded. "Oh, right, sure. I mean, I guess as long as no one's hurt, we can just deal with the rest in the morning."
"Good plan," Finn said.
"Such a smart plan. I'm sure that's why they put you in charge. Good head on your shoulders." Kincaid ushered him to the door like she was seeing him off after a dinner party. All smiles and sugar. The guy had no shot against that level of brutal southern hospitality, and offered no further protest. Once he was out in the hallway, Kincaid shut the mangled door behind her and turned around, dropping the Miss America smile. "Jesus H. Christ, some people can't take a damn hint." She strode over to the bed. "Liv, are you all right, honey? That sounded like a hell of a nightmare." "Liv?" Rebecca frowned. "Uh-oh, she doesn't look so good." Chapter 6 Olivia! Her friends' concerned voices were like safety ropes dragging Liv out of the terrifying in-between place she'd been stuck in. Kincaid, Rebecca, both were staring at her. Finn's arm was around her. Everything was okay now. This was real. Finn had his scar. She wasn't wearing a long-eared t-shirt soaked in his blood. Joseph wasn't going to walk in and shoot them all. She licked her dry lips. "I'm sorry." Her voice scraped raw against her throat, and she slipped out of Finn's hold, suddenly self-conscious about her friends seeing her in this state. "I didn't mean to scare everyone. I'll be fine. I'm okay." "Do you need us to get you anything, sweetie?" Kincaid asked, sitting on the opposite side of the bed from Finn. "Water, a pill, a former football player in his underwear, because we've got the last one covered, and I can make the first two happen." Liv looked up at that, registering the fact that Finn was shirtless and his thick hair was sticking up every which way. Her gaze drifted down to his black boxer briefs. "You're in your underwear."
"Afraid so," he said. "Good thing I don't sleep naked."
"In his underwear and running through the hallways with a gun." Rebecca stood at the foot of the bed, her knuckles white from the grip she had on her elbows. "What the hell was that?" "A gun." A shudder moved through Liv. The image burned into her retinas. Seeing the gun pointed at her when the lights came on had catapulted her into a panic where she couldn't tell real from flashback. The images superimposing on each other.
"I thought she was in trouble," Finn said calmly.
"You just have a gun at the ready? You pick up that before pants?" Rebecca insisted. "You scared me half to death."
"I'm sorry."
He glanced back at Rebecca, and even in profile it was clear he meant it.
"I didn't mean to scare anyone. I thought there was trouble. A cop."
"A cop?" Liv asked, frowning. He ran a hand over the back of his neck, like he'd rather have any other conversation.
"Yeah."
Rebecca seemed to have the same reaction as Liv based on the what-the-hell look she gave him.
"Your parents told my dad you were working in Europe." "Is that what they're telling people now?"
He sniffed.
"Sounds fancy."
"Well, that explains the Captain America routine at least," Kincaid said, waving them off like she couldn't care less what Finn had chosen to do with his life. She turned back to Liv, laser-focused. "You sure you don't need anything, hon? Want me to stay in here with you? Go slumber party style? We can braid each other's hair and talk about boys in their underwear." Liv sagged against the headboard. She appreciated Kincaid's offer, but there was no way she was going back to sleep, and she didn't have the energy to put on a happy face. It was mortifying enough to have them all see her like this.
Even when her panic attacks had been at their worst, she'd been a pro at finding a way to have them alone, to hide. Thanks, but it was just a nightmare, probably from too many margaritas. She tried to offer a smile. Y'all get some sleep. I'll be all right.
You sure? Rebecca asked, rubbing her arms like she couldn't warm up.
Liv met her gaze, hating that she'd also stirred up bad memories for Rebecca with this middle-of-the-night drama.
Yeah, I'm good.
Okay, Kincaid said, reaching out and patting Liv's knee through the blankets. But you let us know if you change your mind.
Will do.
Kincaid circled her finger in the air and got up from the bed. All right, troops, back to your bunkers. Let's leave the woman be. Finn didn't move, only glanced distractedly at Kincaid.
You two go ahead. This door won't be secured tonight. I'll help Liv move her stuff into my room, and I'll sleep in here.
Liv straightened. You don't have to. He turned his head, giving Liv a look.
You're not sleeping with an unlocked door. Not an option.
His green-eyed gaze left no room for discussion. She sighed. Fine. She didn't bother to tell him she wouldn't be sleeping regardless. Liv? Kincaid asked, eyebrows lifted in a way that said, If you need me to escort this bossy boy out for you, I will grab him by his ear and make it happen. The concern warmed her. Yeah, it's all right. Y'all go on.
Okie dokie,
Kincaid said, her tone too bright for this late at night. See you two for breakfast in a few hours. Don't try to get out of it. The two women headed to the door, Rebecca glancing back once with an odd expression before stepping out into the hall. They wedged the mangled door shut as best they could and left Liv alone with Finn. Finn looked back at her, concern lining his face. She ran her fingers through her knotty, damp hair, wishing she could just crawl in a hole or rewind time.
You don't have to worry about the room thing. I'm not going back to sleep anyway.
You still shouldn't stay with a broken door.
He got up, giving her a view of his backside as he crossed the room and grabbed the hotel robe she tossed over a chair. Normally she'd be able to appreciate the scenery, all those finely honed muscles and broad shoulders, and the way the boxer briefs clung to everything beneath. The guy had always been nicely put together and seemed to have only improved with time, but all she could focus on was the corresponding entry scar on Finn's back. That smooth, raised mark gave her comfort that this was real, that the nightmare was over. Liv rubbed her eyes, trying to erase all traces of the images from the dream.
I'm sorry I woke you and scared everyone.
Finn's expression darkened as he shrugged on the robe and belted it.
Don't apologize. Not your fault. Stuff happens.
Sure, most people's stuff didn't wake up half a hotel and get a door busted in. They didn't require a freaking intervention. She pointed to her open suitcase on the floor.
Can you throw me those shorts I have sitting on top? I'm feeling a little underdressed here.
His gaze briefly jumped to the sheets that covered her, something unreadable in his expression.
Yeah, sure.
She caught them when he tossed them her way.
I'm just gonna...
He jabbed a thumb to the left and stepped into the bathroom to give her some privacy. Her face heated. Leave it to her to figure out a way to make things even more awkward with Finn. Throwing herself at him on the porch had apparently only been the opening act. She got up, wiggled into the shorts, and then snagged the bra she'd left on the floor so she could slip it on beneath her shirt. She needed all the armor she could get.
I'm dressed.
Finn came back out and handed her a cup of water, somehow looking businesslike and official despite wearing a hotel robe. Maybe it was a cop thing. All business all the time.
Thanks.
She accepted the water, sat back down on the bed and took a long gulp. He didn't move away.
Sounded like a pretty rough nightmare.
She eyed him over the rim of the cup. Alcohol and being away from home do weird things to my brain, I guess.
Want to talk about it?
His voice was quiet, but his eyes were shrewd.
Sometimes describing the dream gets it out of your head so it won't come back.
The first part of the dream flickered through her mind, and her face went hot again as the images filled out in full color. The kissing, the roaming hands, his fingers. Not even a little bit. God, leave it to her to have a sex nightmare. Was that even a thing? Apparently her mind was going to invent new ways to torture her. Hey, here's a nice little sexy dream, a bit of X-rated fun. Nope, just kidding. Demented, gory shit on the way. She shivered and set the cup on the nightstand. You still look flushed. He sat on the edge of the bed, the springs squeaking, and pushed a lock of damp hair away from her face. You sure you're all right? Just peachy. She gave an exaggerated thumbs up. Can we go now? He tilted his head, giving her the not-buying-it face. It was a nightmare about the shooting. She looked away. I didn't say that. Come on, don't bullshit me, he said, no ire in his voice. You looked at me like I was a ghost and seemed relieved to see my scar. You're obviously shaken up. I just want to make sure you're all right. Tell me what happened. Great. So they were going to talk about this. Yay! She pulled a pillow onto her lap, needing some kind of buffer between them. Fine, it was about that night, but I'm okay. It's just something that happens sometimes. He nodded in a go-on fashion and scooted back a little, not letting her get away with a pat answer, but giving her some space. Ugh! She hated this, hated having these conversations, hated anyone seeing this fragile side, especially Finn. I used to get them all the time. Sometimes nightmares, other times flashbacks. Wasn't pretty and made college super fun, but I've learned what to avoid. Being here just set me off.
Understandable. Today's been difficult.
His eyes scanned her, a line appearing between his brows.
Any tricks you have for calming down afterward? You're still shaking.
She glanced down at her hands, the slight tremor visible against the pillow. She grunted in frustration and flexed her fingers, trying to will them to cooperate. Not really. It's kind of a suck-it-up buttercup thing once it's passed. I have to let the adrenaline burn out and distract myself. Take a shower, watch some TV, read. Not go back to sleep. Like I'm a character in a Nightmare on Elm Street movie. She smirked. It'll pass. Just ignore the crazy lady over here. There. She'd said it. I used to be messed up, still am sometimes, now you know. She braced herself for the oh you poor thing face.
I used to run.
She looked up. What?
He shrugged. You're not crazy. Or if you are, I guess I am too. I've been there. Had the nightmares. The panic attacks. For a while, anything that sounded like a gunshot or even the click of a gun being cocked would set me off. I'd freak out and then go running afterward to shake the feeling, even if it was the middle of the night. He raked his hand through his messy hair. I'd run until I physically couldn't anymore, until my legs would just give out. It made me feel nuts. So I get it.
She stared at him, caught off guard by the confession. When she'd known Finn in high school, he'd been the poster child of laid back. If anything, purposely chill to piss off his high-strung father. So imagining him crushed by anxiety was hard to picture, especially seeing the man he'd become. A man who'd bust through a door and run toward danger. A cop. She glanced over at the nearby table and rolled her lips inward. Even the sight of the gun made her heart pick up speed. But you're a cop now. You have a gun.
Yeah, well, I don't like things that can control me.
He followed her gaze.
Sorry, let me take care of that.
In one smooth movement, Finn got up and went to the table. He picked up the gun, checked the safety, and then tucked it into the drawer and out of sight. She swallowed past the tight feeling in her throat. Meaning. He settled back onto the bed.
meaning one night I was on one of those middle-of-the-night runs after a panic attack. I usually stuck to a regular path, but that night I was at a friend's house. I ran without any set direction. I wasn't paying attention, just trying to run as fast and hard as I could. I ended up on my knees, near passing out in some random park. Some dude snuck up on me and put a gun to my head to rob me. His jaw flexed. I completely froze. Even if I'd had the energy to defend myself, I was useless. And when he found out I didn't have anything on me except my phone, he stole that and then beat the shit out of me with a piece of pipe. He looked up, lip curled in derision. I survived one of the deadliest school shootings in history, and there I was, bleeding on the sidewalk at the hands of some punk kid out for kicks. Jesus. She hugged the pillow tighter, picturing the scene, knowing she would have reacted the same way. But it flipped some switch in me. Instead of getting more scared, I got pissed. Not just about that night, but about it all. He glanced up at her, those green eyes haunted but earnest. I remember sitting in the hospital afterward, giving a statement to the police and thinking, never again, like fuck that guy and fuck that gun and fuck the assholes who put that panic in me in the first place. I was done. He rubbed a hand over his scar in what looked like an absent-minded gesture. I signed up for a gun safety course as soon as I healed, so I could deal with the fear. Liv rubbed the chill bumps from her arms. That must have been ridiculously hard. He gave a humorless laugh. The first few weeks, all I could do was sit there and watch other people do target practice, listen to the sounds, let the panic come and force myself not to run. It sucked. But then I met this cop who offered to help me. She pushed me, and I started to get used to handling the gun and began to train. He focused on a spot somewhere over her shoulder, like he was seeing the memory play out on a screen. She taught me how to switch off the emotion of it. It's going to sound ridiculous, but it became like football used to be for me. One mission. No emotion attached to it. Get the ball into the end zone. But this time, it was hit the target. It was the only thing that helped. Jumping into the fire. Yeah. But it was the best thing I could have done. Learning from Eileen, the officer I met. Seeing how confident and dedicated she was. Made me want to do the same thing. When I eventually went into the academy, I was ready. I had to go through simulations where people would attack me or come at me with a weapon over and over again. In 100 different ways. It diluted the power of my fears because now I had the skills to protect myself. And the people around me. She leaned back against the headboard, impressed and a little awed. So no one is going to catch you off your game again. His lips kicked up at the corners, some of that old arrogance breaking through. Let's just say it's probably not going to go well for them if they try. She laughed, his playful smirk helping some of her jittery feelings dissipate. Now I see it. I couldn't picture you with a badge. There it is. Cocky Finn does law enforcement. What? Afraid I couldn't pull it off? He lifted an eyebrow, his face stern.
Ma'am, can you please step out of the vehicle? Hands where I can see them?
She bit her lip. Of course, with his authoritative tone, her mind put him in a uniform and some aviators. She never had a particular fetish for men in uniform. Especially after her own run-in with the police. But the thought of Finn wearing a uniform and manhandling her a bit had her reconsidering. She would definitely get out of the vehicle. Maybe even let him cuff her. And as inappropriate as the thought was, considering the circumstances, it was a welcome respite from her nightmare. She cleared her throat. I think you pull it off just fine. His dimple appeared beneath the stubble.
You're blushing, Arius.
I am not, she tipped up her chin. I'm just still flushed from all the adrenaline.
Uh-huh. Or you've got a secret cop fetish.
Stop flirting. She pointed a finger at him.
Am I flirting?
He asked innocently. Yes, and that's not allowed. You yourself said that kiss was a mistake.
So don't come prancing around here half-dressed with your Batman abs and talking about where to put my hands. No one likes a tease, Dorothy. His grin turned roguish. I said that kiss was a mistake, not a regret. Finn. And Batman abs? He grabbed the lapels of the robe like he was going to open it and check. These old things. She stretched out her leg and kicked his thigh. Stop it, you're terrible. He lifted his palms in surrender and laughed. At least you're smiling now. Yeah, well, there's that. Even after all these years that had passed, Finn still seemed able to get her mind off things. When her mom was going through chemo and everything was doom and gloom at home, Finn could somehow figure out ways not just to make her laugh, but to do so in a way that didn't make her feel guilty for feeling a moment of happiness. She leaned forward, bracing herself on one hand, and planted a kiss on his cheek. Thank you.
For what?
She looked up, meeting his gaze, and realized how close she still was. Close enough to see the flecks of gray in his green eyes. Close enough to kiss him. She wet her lips. Being you, I've missed that guy. His Adam's apple bobbed, his attention flicking to her mouth before sliding upward again. Her heart picked up speed and his hand closed around her upper arm.
Live.
I... Whatever she was going to say died on her lips, because the way he was looking at her made her forget her words. There was want in those green depths, lust, but there was something else, something that made her breath stall. Need mixed with something more dangerous, a wildness. A curl of heat went up her spine, twining with unease. So much of her wanted to give into it, to see what exactly was simmering between them. Just grab him and say to hell with it all and make the sheets even sweatier than they already were. But as much as he was drawing her in with that look, he was also warning her off. She didn't know how she got that sense, but it was there, loud and clear.
Push me away. Run.
He wanted her to stop this. He told her outside what he had to offer. Nothing but a one-night stand. And though right now that sounded all kinds of enticing, she wasn't going to go there. He didn't want this. Plus, even sober, it would be too close to how she'd handled her anxiety in college. She didn't need to chase away her nightmare with a hookup she'd regret in the morning. She wasn't that girl anymore. Finn. The word was strained.
Yes.
She swallowed past the dryness in her throat. We should get my stuff moved. It's late. He stared at her for a moment, and then his grip on her arm softened. His breath tickled her hair.
Right, of course.
He released her, and she climbed off the bed with shaky limbs. She wouldn't let herself look at him. She needed a task, something, anything, to get her mind off the man sitting on her bed. She packed in record time, and Finn retrieved his gun from the drawer, tucking it in the pocket of the robe. No words were exchanged. When she was done gathering her things, he helped her roll her bag down the hallway to his room. He led her inside and quickly rounded up his own stuff. He moved with quiet efficiency, awkwardness creeping into the silence between them and spreading into every corner of the room. She leaned against the dresser, watching him, hating the growing divide. Hey, Finn. He looked up, his hands full of computer wires. I know the kiss was a mistake, and things have gotten a little weird, and a lot personal tonight. But this, you and I having some time to talk, was good. I think that's what I missed the most when everything happened. Losing you as a friend. His stance relaxed. Yeah? She crossed her arms and shrugged. Yeah. We were good at the kissing, but we were better at the talking. I never had to fake stuff with you. His eyebrow arched. She laughed. That's not what I mean, Mr. Mind in the Gutter. I mean that things were easy between us. That's hard to find with people. I'm realizing that now. I don't have that. He tucked the computer cords in his bag and straightened, his watchful gaze making her fidgety.
And that's not your problem, obviously. She was rambling now and couldn't bring herself to stop. But I opened that time capsule tonight and got to see a big, long list of things I wanted to accomplish in life and haven't. I was supposed to do this. I was supposed to do that. She rolled her eyes. I'm going to name my freaking autobiography Supposed To by Olivia Arias. He frowned.
Liv.
She shook her head. It's fine. It is what it is. But all I'm saying is that I don't want another regret added to the list. So I just thought you should know that you mean something to me. And maybe you could give a flying flip about me. I have no clue what your life looks like now. But I would rather not leave Longacre later today and go back to being strangers. Because people you don't have to fake it for are hard to find. So, yeah, that's all I wanted to say. I'd like us to stay in touch. His mouth twitched.
That's all you had to say?
Hey, I'm a photographer, not an editor.
I thought you were a web designer.
Her lips parted, closed. He smiled.
Maybe you're already making more changes than you think.
She let out a breath. Maybe I'm just tired. Finn stepped around the bed and held out his hand.
Give me your phone.
She was confused for a second, her brain running on too much adrenaline and too little sleep. But eventually his request registered. She reached into her bag to pull out her cell. He took it from her, typed a few things, and then handed it back to her.
You can always call me Livy. For anything.
She took her phone back, her hope sinking a bit. Right, thanks. He kissed the top of her head and then grabbed his stuff.
I'm going to get out of your way so you can shower and rest. If you need anything before breakfast, give me a holler.
Thanks. He stepped out into the hallway without a backward glance and headed to the room they'd left, obviously more than a little eager to get the hell away from her. She didn't blame him. She'd apparently become the queen of awkward conversation tonight. With a sigh, she locked her door and made her way over to the bed and collapsed onto it. Spent, exhausted, and a little frustrated. Finn had taken her words to mean she wanted someone to call when she needed help. But she wasn't in the market for a therapist or a savior. She was in the market for a friend. But maybe she was grasping for something that didn't exist with Finn anymore. Maybe she was just being nostalgic. They weren't in high school. They didn't live in the same place. They couldn't just hang out. The time for that had passed. She needed to be okay with that. If he wasn't interested in keeping in touch, she wasn't going to chase him. She checked the time on her phone to see how many hours she needed to kill before breakfast. But instead of seeing the time, she saw the address book entry Finn had made. His phone number, filed under Batman, and a note beneath. You will never be a stranger to me. Chapter 7. Finn slung his computer bag over his shoulder and rolled his suitcase toward the front desk so he could drop off his key card. The early morning sun squeezed through the blinds of the hotel's windows, and the smell of cheap coffee wafted down the hallway. His mouth watered at the scent. Cheap caffeine was still better than no caffeine, but he didn't have time to visit the continental breakfast. He'd already cut it close enough, lingering a little longer than planned to make sure Liv didn't call and need anything. He hadn't really expected her to reach out. Even if she did need help, she'd be too stubborn to admit it. He'd seen the look on her face when he told her she could call him if she needed him. He hadn't meant it to sound like charity, but he also didn't have anything else to offer. He didn't know how to be someone's friend beyond that anymore. Plus, he'd be undercover again in a few months. So why bother? He peered around the corner at the end of the hallway to eye the setup of tables and chairs in the breakfast area. Only one table was taken, an elderly man eating pastries and reading the newspaper. Finn let out a breath and headed to the front desk. The night manager was still on duty, face in his phone, scrolling through something and completely ignoring Finn. Finn cleared his throat.
Checking out a 348? Just charge the amount to the card on file.
The guy looked up and then frowned when he recognized Finn.
What about the door? My boss put that on there, too, when you get it fixed. Finn tossed the key card on the counter.
Cool.
The guy took the key and went about printing the receipt, but his attention stayed on Finn.
What about that lady? She all right? I mean, she looked pretty freaked out last night. Is it because
she's fine? Finn's fist curled at his side. If the kid had been asking about Liv out of concern, that'd be one thing. But Finn had been reading people long enough to recognize morbid curiosity masking his kindness.
I went to the same high school, you know,
the kid said, as if Finn had given some indication he wanted to engage in conversation.
Different name, obviously, but it weirded me out every time I passed the Remembrance Garden. I can't imagine. Forget it.
Finn grabbed his bag. I don't need a receipt. The last thing he had time for was this kid's gawking. But before he could turn and get the hell out of there, a soft voice hit him in the back. Finn? The familiar sound of her saying his name made him wince.
Shit.
Desk guy's eyebrows went up at Finn's under-the-breath curse. Finn sent him a warning look, and then turned to find Liv staring at him with questioning eyes.
Morning,
he said, none too gracefully.
You're up early.
Yeah, I never went back to sleep. I figured I'd get some work done. Her gaze shifted to the bag over his shoulder and the suitcase. You're leaving?
Just checked out, desk guy offered. He's going to take care of the door for you, ma'am, so you don't have to worry about it.
Finn gritted his teeth and shot a look over his shoulder at Mr. Helpful. When he turned back to Liv, she still had the care to explain yourself head tilt. Finn sighed.
Let's grab a table.
Frown lines bracketed her mouth. Yeah, okay. I already have one by the window. Come on. She led him to a table a few to the right of the elderly man. Her laptop was open, and a cup of coffee sat next to it. She'd probably been away from her table when he'd glanced that way the first time. Plus, in her business suit and heels, her sleek silhouette was something altogether different from the casual version he'd seen last night. Some undercover agent he was. She leaned over to click a few things on her keyboard, and then shut her laptop with a tired sigh.
I didn't mean to interrupt your work,
he said, his tone gruffer than he'd planned. She shook her head and sat. It's fine. It's not something I'm going to have time to fix this morning anyway. I should have never opened my email. She indicated the chair across from her. Finn took a seat and ran a hand over the back of his head, trying to decide what to say and how to say it. Getting out before everyone woke up had seemed like a good idea at the time. She stared at him, her eyes tired, but her lips smirking. We didn't sleep together, you know. You don't have to wear the morning after got caught sneaking out look.
I'm very aware we didn't sleep together.
Painfully aware as he let his attention sweep over her. She'd pulled her hair into a low knot at her nape, and had lined her eyes dark and glossed her lips red, making her look like a 1950s pin-up version of herself. Gone was the vulnerable woman from last night. In her place was a confident, beautiful businesswoman. Liv had her armor on. Her brows quirked as she sipped her coffee. So what's with the cloak and dagger routine?
There's no cloak or dagger,
he said, guilt washing through him.
I just
would rather take a fork to the eye than have breakfast with four old classmates. She sat back in her chair with a knowing look. Feisty, ball-busting. That was the girl he remembered. His attention strayed to how her white-collared shirt gaped, revealing the smooth expanse of her throat, the curve of her neck, the neck he'd almost kissed last night. He grimaced.
Focus, man. Being social really isn't my thing. I wouldn't be good company.
She murmured, setting down her coffee. When I knew you, you could talk to anyone. Would have been happy to hold court with four women. He grabbed her coffee and took a swig.
Yeah, well, people change.
He could still hold court when he needed to, slather on the charm and bullshit. But now it was a role, a game, a way to get people to trust him with their secrets. He didn't know how to be genuine about it anymore, and didn't want to go to breakfast and fake it. So I'm learning,
she said, glancing at her cup. You know, stealing a woman's coffee this early in the morning is grounds for a beating. He smiled and sipped again, keeping his eyes on her.
Worth it, but I'll make sure to get you more before I leave.
So what exactly does leaving entail? I forgot to ask you where you... Her words drifted off as her attention shifted to a spot over her shoulder, her brow furrowing.
Live?
Her eyes narrowed. What the hell is he doing?
Who?
Finn glanced back to whatever had caught her attention. Front desk guy was looking their way from the other side of the breakfast bar, his phone lifted but half hidden between a display of mini cereal boxes and a juice dispenser. Even from a few tables away, Finn heard the faint click of the camera phone, every muscle in his body tensed.
Hey! Liv barked. Is that shithead taking our picture?
Finn was already in motion, the chair falling backward behind him as he jumped to his feet and stalked across the room. The guy's eyes widened at Finn's approach, and he quickly swung his arm around, tucking his phone in his back pocket. Finn didn't slow down. Red-edged his vision, the snap of the camera playing over and over in his head. He had nightmarish memories laced with that sound. All the cameras in his face. All the questions. No secrets. No privacy. All the false accolades. He stepped around the breakfast bar and crowded the guy.
What the fuck do you think you're doing?
The guy lifted his hands, his blue eyes full of faux innocence.
What's your problem, dude? I was taking pics of the food. Because cereal boxes are so interesting. Maybe they are. You were taking our picture.
Finn took another menacing step forward, making the guy back up against the wall.
Give me your phone.
Screw you, man. It's my property. And a free country. I can take a picture. Finn growled.
Give me your phone.
The kid swallowed hard. What's the big secret? Cheating on your wife or something? Or don't want the world to know you've got issues? Finn grabbed the front of the kid's shirt and shoved him hard against the wall, fury coursing through him. The guy's breath popped out of him, the impact rattling the nearby pastry table. Finn! Liv called out somewhere behind him, but it was just background noise. He needed that phone. His photo couldn't be released. But more than that, how dare this piece of shit think it was his right to invade their privacy? To take their photo like they were fucking zoo animals?
Get your hands off me!
The guy said, trying to break the grip.
Not until you give me your phone!
Fuck you! Finn grabbed for the phone, and the guy tried to take a swing at him. But Finn was too quick and too well-trained. Instinct took over. He ducked and swung at the guy's unprotected side, landing the punch in his gut and bringing him to his knees.
Finn! Stop!
Liv was shouting now, but he was moving too fast. He knocked the kid onto his belly and put a knee in his back, ripping the phone from his pocket.
Why were you taking pictures?
Finn demanded, keeping the guy pinned.
Did someone put you up to it?
No, man! Liv grabbed at Finn's shirt.
Please, let him go.
Finn couldn't process her plea. All he could hear was that damn snapping camera, the shouting voices, all the people vying for a sound bite, a candid photo, a glimpse of a tragedy that wasn't theirs. Finn pushed the guy's cheek into the carpet.
How can I believe you, you piece of shit?
Liv yanked at Finn's shirt, frantic and feeling helpless at the immovable force of Finn's wrath. He was going to demolish the kid if he didn't stop. The older man who'd been a few tables over from her was standing off to the side, phone to his ear, no doubt calling the police. But Finn was in some sort of zone. She'd never seen him like this. Scary. Out of control. Deadly. He shoved the guy's face against the rough carpet, demanding more answers, and she looked around for something, anything that could help. Her yelling wasn't working. She didn't exist to him right now. When she spotted the pitcher of ice water, she ran over and grabbed it. As Finn was pulling the guy's head up by his hair, she dumped it over them both. Ice and water spilled everywhere, earning her a string of curses from the two men. But it got Finn to turn his head. When his gaze met hers, it was as icy as the water dripping down his face. Steely, and cutting through her like a winter chill. Mean. Goosebumps chased over her skin. "Finn," she said, putting every ounce of command she possessed into her voice.